Military Mondays with David Katz.
I don't know, David, are we used to your new intro? What do we think?
Great. You haven't played. You haven't played an intro for a couple of
weeks. I realised I haven't played your intro for a while.
Yes, I thought it was gone. I'm so happy it's back.
No, it's back. And it actually never had gone anywhere. Okay. I need to take full responsibility for that. I need to own that.
I'm happy about that.
Right. That's okay. Great. So we're all happy. So if David's happy, then we're happy. And it's hard to know if David's happy. What is true, David? You're a military guy. You know, you don't show your emotions so easily.
So I come here with a poker face.
Right, exactly.
You can't see where it's going. Okay.
No clue. All right, so we need to talk about this conversation. The BBC this morning reporting as one of the main headlines that Cape Town, 8 people a day being murdered in Cape Town. We've seen that that this is a very, very serious issue in certain parts of Cape Town. The South African National Defence Force have been called in. It's not something that people are generally comfortable with using the army to prevent crime, to prevent murders, but there seems to be that level of desperation. Give us a sense of what's really going on down there.
Well, it's always a measure of last resort. You don't really want your military involved in what's really a police action. And in South Africa, where we would need some type of a paramilitary force, ideally, to back up the police, we don't have that. So and with the demise of the commandos also, we had that rear area capability with the commandos. That's also gone now. So we have got to deploy conventional forces into a civilian area, which is not ideal. And it comes with all the caveats in doing it. And certainly one of the problems is the propaganda war also. This is now appearing on the BBC. It can't be a great image overseas. It's newsworthy that we're deploying into these troubled areas. And certainly it's got to be handled very, very careful from here.
How common is this? Obviously, as you're saying, it's a measure of last resort. But normally it's associated with a dictatorship. It's associated with lack of freedom. Are there examples where military is used effectively and without this kind of stigma?
No, certainly. I mean, in the most democratic governments in the world have used the military on occasion. Now, you remember the pictures of the American National Guard on the universities and campuses in the United States of America over the Vietnam War,
right,
where they actually shot some students. So,
yes.
People do, democratic societies do deploy the militaries to back up the police on occasion. It's not ideal, and it should come with a measure of training. The military should have a measure of training on the new roles, because it's a different role from being deployed conventionally against an enemy, obviously.
Obviously.
When you look at
you're not seeing somebody as an enemy, actually.
Well, no, certainly not. But also, it's just the doctrine that's involved. So your doctrine when you deploy conventionally is to use maximum force to overcome your enemy. Now, when you deploy into areas within your own country where you are backing up the police, you're going to use minimum force, which is contra to what you've been trained.
Right.
So that's
right.
A problem. So you need to be retrained to use minimum force where you were used to using maximum force and encouraged to use maximum force. So that's just one of the areas.
Are armies generally trained that way? In other words, would there be some kind of a training to say, if you are deployed in your own civilian city, these are the differences, this is what we need from you, etc.? Or is that just sort of an add-on right at the end as you're about to go into a town?
You know, that's a good question, but I think times are changing also. There's no such thing anymore as a pure conventional war. They're calling it now hybrid war, where you've got a conventional war tied up with a guerrilla type war. So your military needs to train now to not only use maximum force, but also use minimum force, within a conventional conflict, because a lot of the fighting now is going to take place in built-up areas and cities with a lot of civilians involved. So that's the new way of war, certainly, that armies can no longer just train for one way of war. They need to be versatile, they need to be flexible, and they need to have that skill set that allows them to be deployed externally On peacekeeping operations, peace enforcement operations, where sometimes minimum force is the word, or they need to be able to be deployed against a full-blown conventional force where they use maximum force to overcome the enemy. So there needs to be that versatility, lots of training involved, lots of money, lots of expenditure to get people up to speed to be able to handle those different types of scenarios.
Surely in a place like South Africa where we're not actively at war with anybody, we don't have a particular enemy threat around our borders or anywhere else, surely it would make a lot more sense, given the fact that we've got so much going on within our own environment, whether it's crime, whether it's xenophobic violence, no matter what it is, surely our military should be trained quite extensively for internal.
Well, fortunately, that is the circumstance at the moment, is that our military is reasonably well trained because they are involved in peacekeeping and peace enforcement operations. Mm-hmm. Outside of the country quite extensively for a decade or so now. So they are, those forces have come back with a lot of knowledge about how to conduct themselves, within a civilian environment and also, in a peacekeeping environment where you've got to win over the hearts and minds of the population. There's that discipline that's also involved in coming back. So we're not totally unsuited for the task of going into Cape Town and helping the police subdue these gangs. We're not totally unsuited for that, but we have to be careful that the doctrine is right and that the training is continuous and that the military is kept up to speed on how to conduct itself within these civilian areas and wins a propaganda war, because it is a propaganda war out there at the end of the day. I mean, I'm sure the gangs are going to try everything they can to make sure that they get rid of the sure they get rid of the military, because it's obviously affecting the way they're operating. We can see the results and the figures.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Have we seen positive results? Where were we and where are we?
Well, I did a fact check with Zanati, and she helped me out on that one. Previously, if I'm not mistaken, Zanati can help me out on that. There were 45, on average, 45 killings per weekend. And the last time I had a look, it was three times in a row that it was 45 or 50 people. Yeah. SANDF was deployed, came in, went down to 25, last week, and this weekend it's come down to 10, which is a horrendous figure. I mean, I cannot believe it.
45 people killed every weekend in this area of Cape Town.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So the SANDF has had a massively positive, influence on the figures, from 45 down to 10. Absolutely unacceptable, 10. I mean, totally unacceptable. But it seems to have had an effect. It needs to have a long-term effect now. And obviously they need to enable the police to do their work. If the police don't do their work, it's going to be very short-lived.
Is this generally gang killings? Is this a gang war? I mean, 45 people a weekend, and obviously I don't know what happens during the week, but 45 people per weekend, every weekend. I mean, that's a proper war.
That's a proper war. No, it seems to be gang-related. Most of the murders, the great majority of them are gang-related, apparently. So it's a situation.
It seems to have been completely out of control. The fact is, I guess, that maybe it's not, if it's now been reduced down to 10 for the weekend.
Well, 10 is a horrendous figure.
No, it's still very high, of course.
Absolutely horrendous figure. And what's needed now, obviously, the military can do things. They've got capability to do a certain amount of things, but they can, the police need to get up and start doing their job properly now that the military has enabled them to go into the areas.
And I would assume they work very closely together. It's not one or the other.
No, they should do. They should do. There should be total joint operations, and they should be cooperating together, sharing intelligence.
Right.
And the SANDF has a role that is different from the police. They're more in a protection role. They protect the police when the police go and raid and arrest. The SANDF has no right of arrest or anything like that. So the police have different functions, but the SANDF is more as an enabling force to enable the police to go around and do their duties without being harassed by the gangs. So that's what the SANDF is there for. And also just to be high profile.
Visible policing, visible enforcement.
A couple of soldiers outside the school already brings comfort to the population over there. And a lot of people have expressed the absolute joy.
That's what I was curious about. You know, South Africa's got a terrible history during the apartheid era, where the army was deployed to these areas.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, I remember as somebody who was trying to and managed ultimately not to go to the army. But one of the biggest concerns that I had is how can you morally and you know go into these areas and try and keep calm or whatever they did in whatever the army did in those areas. No matter what happened, there must be many people who remember the army coming through the streets of your area, and it's got to fill you with a tremendous horror.
No, certainly there's that aspect that the army was deployed to defend an indefensible regime. And that obviously damaged the image of the army. But the army was also involved in 1994 in ensuring that we have free and fair elections. And I can talk from personal experiences. I've been deployed to Alexandra and Soweto on many, many occasions in the early 2000s. And we were greeted by the local population. They were happy to have us there. In fact, they preferred us many times over than the police. Very happy to see us. We were welcomed. We were welcomed to people's houses. We were fed coffee and food.
Okay, so it did change. It changed quite quickly
The image is totally changed. It's not the same army as there was before. And I'm getting report backs now from the Cape where the SANDF is absolutely welcomed with open arms.
That's fantastic.
Into the Cape society. And they're very happy that the guys have been deployed. They've been asking for these people to be deployed for years now. So they're only too happy to have them there. So that's the indication that I'm getting.
That sounds very, very positive. I'm chatting to Major David Katz, and we are talking about the deployment of an army in civilian areas. It is 8:46, a very